go on to item two, please? Okay. Item two, which is application number P200515/2, which is for the land, Persimmon Homes, North Midland, land to the west of Loughborough. It starts on page 40 of your pack. We do not have any extras for this, and I've lost my piece of paper to say, it's marked. So we move to the officer to present to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, yes, as said from page 40 of the agenda, what we've got in front of us today is the reserve matters relating to the outline permission at land west of Loughborough, which is now more commonly known as Garendon Park. We've got reserve matters for phase 1A, the residential first residential area, as well as some discharge conditions as well. So to give a bit of background and context to the site, members may recall that outline permission was granted back in 2018 for 3,200 homes on this site. The slide on the screen and in your packs gives the red line outline from that outline permission, given the general location of the site. And just to give a bit more context again, to the west of Loughborough, obviously we've got the A512 running to the south of the site, and then the M1, Shipshed, Hathern Road to the north, and the A6 to the northeast. And again, from the outline application, there were several approved documents as part of that permission. What's in the pack, and as shown on the screen, is the indicative layout from that outline permission. So it is indicative. It wasn't the full detail, which was to be agreed through the reserve matters, and it's these reserve matters which are before us today. So what we've got is the detail for phase 1A, which is to the northeast of the site. So on the indicative plan, it is this area to the northeast, close to the new roundabout access off the A6. And just to give a summary of the report, page 42 to 49 of the report gives the full detail of the planning policies. But the key ones to note there are that this site is a sustainable urban extension to Loughborough. It was allocated in CS 22, rather than my typo, which is on the screen, from the core strategy in 2015. And it's also been continued in the latest version of the new local plan, in the emerging local plan. Whilst this site has already been granted planning permission, it's already taken into account in the housing trajectory, the five-year land supply housing trajectory, but this reserve matters will confirm that and will start to bring the delivery online in accordance with the expectations of that of the supply that we do have. And again, just to give a bit more background, this application is to be taken into account alongside other applications. Obviously, there's the outline permission from 2018, but there have also more recently been other discharge conditions applications in 2019. So site-wide phasing, which we'll move on to soon, but also public transport strategy relating to bus stops along the site as the scheme is developed from the northern side and in the different phases of the development. And also site-wide drainage has already been agreed. Also relating to phase one and two, there's a development framework plan which has set out the design principles for each of the residential areas within phase one and two, and it's against that which this application is to be considered as well. There is a separate reserve matters application for phase 1B, 1C, on the next slide, we'll give a bit more context for that, but that's separate from this application and will be considered in due course. And also to point out that there are other pre-commencement conditions, pre-occupation conditions, various other conditions from the outline consent which will be considered as the development progresses. And that's to be taken alongside the Section 106 obligations as well, with such issues relating to affordable housing, schooling, NHS, police contributions, a wide range of different issues. So to give that context that I referred to before, this is the first parts of the site which are due to come forward, and this is taken from the phasing plan which was approved through the discharge condition. As you can see, we've got the phase 1A is the detailed residential area that we've got before us tonight, and the detailed landscape scheme for that area to the north, excluding this phase 1B, 1C, which is going to be subject to a separate reserve matters application. We've also got the detailed landscaping schemes for the Garradon Park and Estate to the south of the site. Obviously, that's of distinct heritage importance, and we'll come into the detail of that as the presentation continues. So what we've got before us is, as I said, the details for that phase 1A, the detailed landscaping scheme for phase 1 and 2 to the north of the site, as well as the different discharge conditions. So the children and young people's strategy relates to the overall approach to play areas and accessibility for children across the site. Site-wide structural landscaping, again, that builds on the parameters plan from the outline stage and gives the broad framework for the wider development, which then the reserve matters will add more detail to as they come forward as well. And as discussed, we've got the landscape scheme for the registered park and garden, as well as noise assessment and odour control, which are required on a phase-by-phase basis. So to give some views of the site, this is a view with my back to Loughborough, so looking towards Hatherne along the A6. You've got the access to Pear Tree Lane just off to the left, and you can see the new development board for Persimmon there, and the new roundabout access would be just before the verge emerges in the A6, just around the bend to the site. And then some views from within the site. This is within the field boundary, looking back up through the site, so towards the southwest. As you can see, green field land at the moment, arable farmland, but also just noting the rise in the ground levels there, and Bailey's plantation too. You can just see the trees over the horizon there. This is a view from the same point, but looking what would be along the A6 towards the west. And again, you can just make out the tops of the trees there for Hatherne Drive. And a view a little bit further up, inside the site, looking back down towards the A6. And again, back in the opposite direction towards Bailey's Plantation. And you can see Hatherne Drive and the associated trees along that footpath in the background. This is a view along Pear Tree Lane, so public right-of-way, bridle-way. Separated from the site by this existing hedgerow and trees. And then there's open space and leading onto Darwin Crescent off to the left of this photo. And another view from Pear Tree Lane. And Pear Tree Lane. And this is a view from, with the back towards Hatherne Drive, looking back towards the site. And the site is down in this area, the A6 running to the left of the site. Of the photo, and Bailey's Plantation, this group of trees in the front, and it's phase 1A, which would be in that area there. The strategic link road would run across the site and then serve the rest of the site, having passed by Bailey's Plantation there. And this is a view from Hatherne Drive and Pear Tree Lane, looking back towards the site. Phase 1A is just beyond the brow of the hill there, Bailey's Plantation from a different view. And this is the area where phase 1B, 1C would be. And then just again, to give some context for the site, this is a view from Hatherne Drive, looking back towards Garradon Park Estate, which is in the sort of the middle distance here. And to give a view, some sort of scale, you can just about make out the cranes where the Biffa waste energy from waste site is being built at the moment. So the A512 is in that region. And to get into the detail of the submission for tonight, we've got the phase 1 and 2 detailed landscaping, and this is an overview from those plans. Plan Explorer pages do include the full detail of the planting, the locations, and all the specification for that planting, but this plan gives an overview of the sort of plant which is going to be associated with this phase one and two, planting along Haven Drive and making that a new buffer between the site and Haven, and then you also see where phase 1A is located here and phase 1B, 1C, which was separate application. And then to, again, get into the detail of the residential areas, this is the design and layout which has been put forward from Persimmon. It's been subject to various different amendments since the application was first submitted. We've been liaison with the County Council Highways and our in-house urban designers to try and get to a scheme which is in accordance with the approved development framework plan. And particular features for this site is the different high road hierarchy. So you've got the strategic link road and roundabout, which was approved through the outline permission. And then once you get into this phase, you've got some primary roads through. And then from that, you've got more secondary roads. And then from the secondary roads, more lanes. So as the general character and design of the roads goes in further into the site, the general spaciousness it changes and to give a unique and distinct character for this site in line with its location next to Garendon Park. So again, landscaping was a key point from the design and access statement at outline stage and through the development framework plan. So what I've got here is an overview of the landscaping within that phase 1A. So as you can see, this highlights the level of soft landscaping along that primary road with trees interspersed along the frontages, but also at key focal points within the site. So close to the entrances, but also at key turning areas as well. And that primary road giving a bit more space to the soft landscaping, the frontages being set back a little bit more and parking areas designed so that there's a bit more space for the soft landscaping to achieve the design aims that we were aiming for. And that point, again, as it goes into the different road types, the level of landscaping changes to suit the different space available and areas and to create that differentiation within the phase itself. And this is an overview of the general design and spacing of the property, so street scene elevations, so that the two rows at the front would be the layout of houses facing the strategic link road. As you can see, you've got a variety of different house designs, different materials, mainly two storey there, but different parking areas as well, some garaging. And again, within the site, there's a slightly different approach to spacing and heights of properties to give a little bit more variation in density, as well as variation in appearance through detailing, materials, chimneys, various different points to create that impact of design. And then again, some more street scenes within that primary road. Again, just highlighting the different approach to materials, layout, and heights as well. But also, street scenes give an important view on it's not all flat there. There is a rise, there is going to be a change in levels within the site. And then there are details available for the particular house types. Obviously, there's 217 properties on the site with different floor plans for each of those, but these just give an indication of the sorts of things which could be available. And then pulling that together into a visualization, again, showing the different materials to be used, spacing around, and the landscaping. And obviously, there's going to be lots of pigeons as well. And again, another visualization. So just to summarise the points in relation to that residential area, the phase 1A, the outline permission set the principle. It established that there would be a large-scale residential development on this site. The proposals for phase 1A are generally in line with that indicative layout. And it's also in keeping with the details which have been already agreed through the conditions. And that includes the site-wide SUDS plan as well as the development framework plan. And in terms of the housing mix as well, the details have been submitted for the site-wide housing delivery plan through discharge conditions. And as set out in the report, there is some variation from what was expected, but there's no objections from the strategic public and private sector housing team at Charnwood. And the overall mix is considered to be acceptable. So just to summarise the position and the recommendation from the report in terms of that residential area, the recommendation is for approval of that design and layout. There's no objections from the Charnwood's Natural and Built Environment team, no objections from County Highways, no objections from the Tree and Landscape Officer, and again, as I said, no objections from the Affordable Housing team. So then to move on to the conditions and give an overview of what's being provided there and again recommended for approval is the Children and Young Persons Strategy. This is a text document looking to provide a guide and steer to future phase of development. So not only this phase 1A being considered tonight, but also the future phases as the scheme develops. It will grow from the north and also in towards that community hub in the centre of the site, which was approved through the indicative layout, which is to provide sports pitches. So this children and young person strategy gives an overall aim to how that's actually going to be achieved. And again, that's been subject of consultation, and there have been no objections from the open space team. Condition 14 is also up for the recommendation for approval, and that relates to the site-wide structural landscaping. What we've got here is the overview of the whole site. Appreciating that it's difficult to pick out any of the detail, but it provides that almost the skeleton for the future reserve matters to add the flesh to, which will provide the detail. So they're a key public rights of way within the site, and obviously large areas of open space in the Garradon Park. So this site-wide structural landscaping seeks to establish sort of the spacing between the different phases and the overall layout to achieve a fairly green and attractive area to live. And that plan does break down into more closer detail. So this relates to phase 1A, which is before us tonight. And gives an indication of the level of detail with these representing woodland buffers and following through where you've got the public rights of way, supplementing the planting along there, but also the strategic link road, tree-lined avenue, which was the overall appearance which was agreed from the outline permission. And then for the different parts of the site, again, it gives that framework where then the reserve matters applications as they come forward will add the full detail. So just to summarise in relation to condition 14, there was a parameter plan approved as part of the outline permission. This provides more detail than was included on that parameter plan, but it's still in keeping with that. And then as the future phases come forward, then the full specifications will become available. And to summarise, no objections from the tree officer. And again, the recommendation is that condition 14 is to be approved. And then condition 39 relates to the Garradon Park estate. Again, referring to the heritage interest from that, it is a listed park and garden. And part of that listing relates to its layout and the landscaping within that layout. So the planting has been rigorously checked by both our in-house team as well as Historic England in terms of its impact on the heritage status of the park. And it's got to the point where the recommendation, where there's no objections from any of the consultees, and the recommendation is for approval. Largely summarised in the slide there. And then in relation to noise, the outline application included a noise assessment relating to the whole site to establish whether or not there's any in-principle objections in terms of noise. That found that there were potential noise sources and there could be impact on residential amenity from the A6, from the M1 and the A512, and then the condition requires that as each phase comes forward that there'll be a noise assessment. That's been undertaken for this phase, and it's found that there is potential noise from the A6, but also the new strategic link road. So houses within this phase may need some would need some mitigation to ensure that the internal noise levels were an acceptable level. And what has been proposed has been accepted by Charnwood's environmental health officers. Again, we've got to the point where we recommend approval. And similarly for Oda, there's a Shepshire sewage treatment plant located to the west of the site, with the potential to cause odour disturbance to residents. This phase being on the northeastern side, it is possibly the furthest away from that source of odour. But an assessment has been undertaken. Some additional assessment is undertaken following the request from the environmental health officers. And we've got to the point where there's a recommendation for approval. There's no objections and the recommendation for approval. So just to summarise, obviously the outline permission was granted in 2018 for 3,200 dwellings and the associated employment and schools and infrastructure. And this is the first stage of bringing forward the detail for that outline permission to start getting houses built on this strategic urban extension. There have been other pre-commencement conditions which need to be taken into account, and those are detailed in the report. It's also worth pointing out that there are other conditions which will need to be addressed from the outline condition and Section 106 obligations which need to be taken into account as the scheme progresses. So to summarise, there's no objections from statutory consultees. There have been objections from some local residents, and these are summarised in the report and have been taken into account. But the overall principle has been established by that outline consent, and there's no particular reasons which, or it's officer's view, that there's no particular reasons that the proposal before you tonight would need to be refused. So, as per the recommendation on page 61, the recommendation is for approval, subject to conditions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We have one speaker tonight, and that is, lost the name again, Louise Ward. Thank you very much, Louise. You have 5 minutes, and after 4 minutes, the Democratic Services Officer will indicate you have 1 minute left. If you're still speaking at the end of 5 minutes, you will be asked to stop. So when you're ready.
And gentlemen, I'm speaking tonight in support of the development and on behalf of Persimmon Homes North Midlands. The site at the land to the west of Loughborough at Garendon, which is also known as the west of Loughborough SUE, forms the first phase.
Could you just bear with us a moment? I think some of our this can't possibly.
Do you need it moving? Is that better? Do you want me to start over? Or?
If you would, please, and then it's
okay, right.
To you.
So yes, good evening once again. I'm speaking tonight in support of the development and on behalf of Persimmon Homes North Midlands. The site at the land to the west of Loughborough at Garendon, which is also known as the west of Loughborough SUE, forms the first phase of a multi-phase scheme where the principle of development has already been established, which in its current form benefits from existing outline planning permission that was achieved in July 2018. During the lifespan of this application, which includes the submission of the required outline conditions, such as the Garendon Registered Park Landscaping Scheme, we have worked closely with your officers over many months and have succeeded in creating what we believe to be a development that is well-designed, sustainable, accessible and deliverable, as well as being satisfactory from a technical standpoint. Also, our scheme provides Section 106 contributions, the total value of which contributes to mitigating the impacts on local infrastructure as determined by the local authority. I can confirm that the planning conditions attached to this recommendation of approval are acceptable, and should the committee seek to approve this application and following subsequent pre-commencement conditions discharge, we would look to be providing houses for sale and occupation within the second half of 2022. The development has been designed to reflect what has already been approved under the Development Framework Plan and Design SPD as part of a joint effort with your planning officer. This has ensured that the development of the site has satisfactory back-to-back distances, increased natural surveillance, sufficient parking spaces provided, and a locally informed housing mix that are traditionally designed and positioned with landscaping to define and enhance streets and spaces. Persimmon Homes are proud to present to you, the committee, a scheme that is in keeping with the material, design and appearance of the surrounding area and as such integrates well with the local character of Loughborough, in particular Garendon Park. In accordance with local policy, the scheme provides a range of different bedroom homes that are built to a high level of quality. The development also includes a policy compliant quantum of affordable homes as agreed with the council. On the basis that the site is deliverable within the sustainable location of the west of Loughborough and in accordance with the policies set out in your adopted local plan, I would urge you to follow your officer's recommendation and grant this application. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do I have any... Councillor Grimley.
It seems fairly... well designed. The house type elevations possibly could have done a bit more, but it's not too bad on that, so I can't really complain about that. Couple of question points. One, I suppose, is at the moment we're moving into a time where more cars need to be charged, and if they, I can't quite see on the layout plan, but has car charges been taken into account onto areas. The other point, which I'll obviously take as well, there's a question about noise levels being sort of acceptable inside with mitigation. What's the sort of standards for outside, as we know, and the current lockdown and that sort of thing? People enjoying the gardens have probably come into the fore a bit, so I just sort of want to know what the officer's responses are to those.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley. Did you say at the beginning you were minded to propose officers?
I will propose officers, recommend.
You're proposing. Is there a seconder? Councillor Ransom. Right. Did you want to come back on the points now or when?
Happy to respond to both those points, yes.
Okay.
Taking those as two points, first relating to car charging points. There's no specific provision within the Phase 1A for car charging points other than what would be available through domestic links being put forward by individual homeowners. So there's nothing specific at this stage, and I expect it would be left up to homeowners to address that as the scheme progresses.
Thank you. Councillor Charles.
Sorry, one more point in relation to the noise levels outside, so gardens. So there's no particular mitigation required for the external areas. Rear gardens, so again, to go back to the main points of noise being, for this phase, being the A6 and the strategic link road. So it's traffic noise which is the main issue. In terms of gardens, the majority of those face inward from the site, so they're going to be away from that the sources of noise, so partially shielded by the built form of the houses themselves. There's also going to be boundary fencing within that, the details of which are recommended to be secured through condition, but it's likely to be close board fencing. There's no particular acoustic fencing or similar proposed as part of this scheme, but that wasn't considered to be necessary from the Environmental Health Officers.
Okay. Councillor Charles.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question, really. On page 53, obviously this site should have already delivered 760 dwellings to our five-year land supply, and it's suggested that the information of these reserve matters is brought forward to 18 months rather than 3 years. Is that time scale within our gift, or is that set out in any legislation? I'm just thinking, if we want these houses developed, we don't want it sort of rolling on and on and on.
I think we'll go back to the officer, but I think it was mentioned by the speaker that they hope for the latter end of 2022.
Yes, I understand that, but I also see that in these notes they were already supposed to have started. So, you know, this is a question. I suppose my question is this, you know, going to happen?
I think, well, based on all the information that we have to hand, I think the short answer is yes. But yeah, no, I understand the context there, that it is an important site to get moving, to start contributing to the 5-year housing land supply. In terms of the 18 months, that is the standard is 3 years for commencement, but given the circumstances, 18 months is considered to be reasonable, and that's what's been agreed with the developer. And that's, as in the report, in line with their expected commencement dates as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mayor.
I just have a couple of points. The first one regarding the potential flooding on the A6 into Hatherton and out of Hatherton. Because realistically, if you're building 3,200 houses there, more often than not, people, if that's at the moment, the only access into and out of the development, they'll be taken left into Hatherton and probably employment further afield. So I don't know if you've been tried to go through Hatherton in winter, but the A6 floods quite a lot. So is there anything in this application that exacerbates it or mitigates it? Because if there is no mitigation, unfortunately, it's going to, you know, exacerbate the problem. And people who live in that development will be very peeved, let's say. And the second point is on affordable housing, and it's on page 55, which is to previous application we looked at, we were looking at 40% affordable housing on 65 developments, and on this application, 25%. So why the discrepancy? Thank you.
So just to come back on the point about flooding first, there has already been discharge conditions for site-wide suds. There's also another pre-commencement condition relating to face-specific suds. So just about make it out on slide on the screen, but you have got one attenuation basin just close to the roundabout. Mm-hmm. There is another larger one just to the south of the phase 1B, 1C. So there is the general provision has been made to ensure that the site won't cause any adverse effects outside of its site, mm-hmm. But the full details and the specific drainage rates and how that's going to be drained into those attenuation basins will be agreed through future discharge conditions applications.
Okay. Cheers, thank you for that one. Second point.
Sure, yeah, second point, affordable housing. Yeah, why is this site 25% and not 40? So I understand from the core strategy, there's a different level of affordable housing dependent on the settlement. Obviously, with this being a strategic, a sustainable urban extension to Loughborough, the housing need in the area is for affordable housing is less than it can be in other sites. So the policy only requires 25%, and that's also been set out in the section 106 from the outline permission that it would provide 25% across the whole site. And again, that's also been agreed through the site-wide delivery statement for affordable housing, which is one of the conditions which again sets out at 25%. So it's in line with what's been, what's required by policy, but also what's been approved already.
Thank you, Chair. Just make one observation as well, is that actually it's taken 15 years for this from first fruition when I came on the council to actually the first houses to be recommended to be built. I know we had outline planning permission in 2018 or 2017, so it's been quite a journey, and we've seen it from the arguments we've had in the council chamber whether to have the site or not as a SUE to it actually happening. Mixed feelings, really, you know. I think the time's there for it. We need it. Loughborough is expanding. We can't put all the housing in the south of the town because it's already causing gridlock on the Epinal Way. So I think this type of development will help housing as well, especially with the airport development, the new Freeport happening up there as well, and the demand for housing. Because if it's not here, it'll be elsewhere. But we just have to make sure, as the planning committee, that the houses are suitable to, and the amenities go in, including the affordable housing as well. I'm happy to support the application, I think, on that. But I think we will probably have to revisit the A6 sometime in the near future to resolve that issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mayor. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Garendon Park, according to this, is going to get its long-awaited makeover and hopefully brought back to its former glory. But when's that going to be started? When are the historic monuments going to be looked after, please?
Yeah, so, well, it's essentially two parts to that question. And if I can go back on the slides to... earlier on, to put it in context. So there are various works to open up the Garendon Park estate, and the plan on the screen is taken from the phase-in plan, which has already been approved through the discharge conditions. And this shows the first phases, which will be coming forward as part of the development. So we've got the residential areas to the north, but also at the outset is the works to the Garendon Park estate. And within that, there's also the Section 106 requirements for works at various stages for the scheduled monuments within the site. So the obelisk is required, works to restore that, required prior to the 40th occupation. There's other works which are required prior to the 40th occupation. There's works to the Red Barn by the 100th occupation. So there's a lot of upfront infrastructure and works to be... undertaken, but that is secured through the Section 106 obligations.
Well, thank you. I just wondered who was going to monitor it. I thought we was going to have a management group set up to check the works being done. I mean, 2 years ago, we had scaffolding around the obelisk for 12 months, and they didn't do a bloody thing, you know.
Sorry,
so I just wondered...
I don't think your language...
Oh, sorry. Well, it was open. We thought it was going to get done, and they just wrecked. Trees were torn down. Scaffolding was chucked about by the vandals for 12 months. They've destroyed the wood, you know.
But I think that's not what we're looking at.
When did you start? Are they going to make a good job this time? That's the thing.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't saying what you were saying. It was the inappropriate language.
Oh, just I'm very angry. You know, it sort of sounds all nice and that, but when you actually see what they've been doing.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Council.
I can come back on that. So for the obelisk itself, there's been a list of building consent which has been granted to agree what details for the work which will be undertaken. There is going to be further works and programming to meet that Section 106 requirement for timescales for the other parts of the site as well. So yeah, I understand what you're saying about works which have been undertaken so far.
Just the management. There's a group will be set. A management group will be set up. And
yes,
by again, residents and local councils.
So again, that's one of the Section 106 obligations is to agree an estate plan. We've had an early version of that, and we're working with the developers on updates to that again. So that'll include the details for the management companies and to look after all the public open spaces within the site.
And councillors will be emailed. Local council board.
Yes, I think we're slightly moving off track at the moment. Councillor.
Okay, right, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ransom.
Thank you, Chair. It's just one item I would like to ask. My fellow councillor, Councillor Grimmery, has proposed, and I second this recommendations of the officers. It was the officer who said was regarding no charging points on the houses. We're actually going into actual car phase, aren't we? Is it possible we could actually just suggest that might be one of the suggestions? I don't know whether we can put a condition on it as part of it, because the planning permission has been
I don't think it was matched with the houses. I think they were looking, with respect, the officer may correct me, is separate charging points, say in parking areas or somewhere, not in the domestic houses. I think
the officer, Chair, can I actually ask, was that correct? Have I assumed it wrong?
Well, just to clarify, there's no specific provision for charging points within the layout that we've got before us tonight. Just on a my view on the practicalities. If charging points were required, then it'll be up to the owners of the properties to install them themselves. So there's no policy requirement for charging points at the moment, so there's no basis for that request. But it's noted and understood.
Thank you. I would like it noted. Thank you.
I don't think many properties will be able to have charging points. Right. I see no further speakers. We have a proposal by Councillor Grimley, seconded by Councillor Ransom, and to accept officer's recommendation. Could I see a show of hands, please? Thank you. And against? Abstain? Right. 10-4, one abstention. Thank you. That has been carried. 10 in favour of the officers of the proposal and one abstention. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Ms. Ward. Now we have the next application, which will take a couple of minutes because we have to get them speaking. This application will be taken by the Vice Chair, Deputy Chair, Councillor Benton. Thank you.